Hello and welcome. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and guess what? We're here back again for our Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology monthly office hours. So I'm excited to be here to answer your questions, to review some of your cases, to just help you in whatever way, shape, or form you need help. And the way that these calls go is they're just very open, and if you're on the phone, you have a question, you go ahead and raise your hand with a star two, and then I call on you in the order that they come in. If you're listening in on the web and you have a question, you just type it into the question box that should be to the left of you. I had intended to play around a little bit more with a chat feature that they've just incorporated here so that we could actually have a chat box going, but I don't want to play with it and waste your time, so I'm going to have somebody get on the line with me and we'll play with it. I played with it myself. It looks quite interesting so that you can actually see each other's questions and chat with each other like we have on some of the other forums that we use. So I'll get back to you next time and let you know if we're going to use it that way. So, so go ahead and raise your hands, star two. I love answering your questions, and I'm going to go ahead and start with Steph's question that she said she can't make it. I'll start with her question. Then I'm going to go to the questions that we have on the website. If anybody's typed anything in, I'll go ahead and answer those. And let me just go to that page. And then we'll go from there. Steph looks like she has quite an interesting question. Okay. Yeah, no, we don't have any on there. Good. Easier to have them all in one place. So Steph's question is, too bad I can't make it to our call today, but I have two quick questions. Do you know of anywhere that I could offer volume discounts for stool bacterial panels? Whoa. I don't know of any labs that do volume discounts on those unless you're actually one of the labs ordering like hundreds or thousands at a time. So no, I don't know the answer. Sorry about that. Second question, I've seen a lot of liposomal amino acids on the Mark, and I'm not sure if the liposomal part is much of benefit because of how amino acids are absorbed. But liposomal C makes sense. How would this benefit amino acids? Is it a benefit to somebody who's particularly compromised, or is it a marketing thing? What's your opinion? That's a great question, Steph. And there's definite advantages to liposomal vitamin C. There's also definite advantages to liposomal glutathione, just because glutathione in and of itself cannot get through the intestinal barrier intact, it gets broken down and then reassembled, whereas when it's in the little liposomes, it can actually cross into the chylomicrons and get absorbed into the bloodstream pretty quickly. You know, in terms of amino acids, I don't know that I would see that would make all that much of a difference. I'd have to really look at the research to see if there is any scientific research to back it up. I know there's lots of research on C and also glutathione. I've experimented with B vitamins, like there's some B12 liposomals, and also I got some liposomal turmeric from Seeking Health. But again, I just did it as a curiosity because I was ordering, and I really would have to see what the science looks like. I know for sure if somebody's very compromised that it can help, but the liposomals are quite expensive compared to just getting a powdered, like, you know, tyrosine or whatever. So I don't really know. My opinion is probably not as big a deal, but it certainly makes sense for the C just because you bypass some of the intestinal irritation that you get and it gets right in the bloodstream. There's an interesting article that I saved, and I think I'll share a link to on our web pages, that it was a doctor who had, you know, yeah, liposomal C, big deal. He had been using intravenous C, and he got a really bad cold, and they'd given him some samples, which just sat on the shelf. He got a really bad cold, couldn't make it into the office to shoot himself up with the IV, and discovered that taking the liposomal did the trick. And in fact, he was able to take a lot less than he would normally have done. So he wrote a few articles about that and talked about how he's thinking that the liposomal could be just as good, if not sometimes better, than IVs, and certainly a lot less expensive and certainly a lot less invasive and much more available. So good question, Steph. And one more from Jane, and then I'll go to the phone. My client with stage 3 adrenal fatigue thinks that her B complex is causing her nerve excitability and shocking feelings all over her body. Have you heard of this? I'm on the phone too. I'll answer this and then I can open up your line. I have had people who are so extremely sensitive that their B vitamins can create that. And that's why I've gone to using a lot of the liquid stuff, because you could give them drop doses and you can actually titrate to a dose that they need. I had somebody who was so sensitive that she took the B-complex capsule, which was about a 50 milligrams of everything capsule, put it in a dropper bottle and completely filled up the dropper bottle with that one capsule. And even taking one drop of it was excitatory to her. And it may be certain components in it that are problematic, but I have heard of it. And the way I work with it is to just go with teeny, teeny, tiny doses and find their tolerance level. And sometimes working with the individuals. And it's now possible to get the individual ones. And I've got a link, which I need to post, and I'm going to make another note to myself to post. There's a company in the UK that has liquids of all your B vitamins individually and in the different forms of some of them. So it's a really good way to get the liquids. If you're in Europe, it's probably a lot easier. But their shipping did not seem exorbitant. And, in fact, the person that told me about it was from Australia, and she ordered it and they delivered it to Australia. But I really liked it because it's the only place I saw that didn't have any alcohol, didn't have any preservatives. Everything was clean, and they made a note to say, look, we don't want all that junk in our supplements. And I think it was, you know, probably an extra $5 to ship it to the U.S. It wasn't bad. And it was called Biotech, maybe? Somebody look that up while we're on the phone. I think it was Biotech. And if you find it, give it to us, and you can shoot me the link in the chat box. Otherwise, I'll look it up later. So we don't have any questions. We don't have any hands raised. You guys have to have questions. I don't know which one you are. I guess you're the wireless caller from Modesto, Jane. I'm going to open you up and see.
Yes.
Yes, you are. All right. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, so it's not uncommon. I've seen it in people who are the people that are most depleted, surprisingly enough. You might expect that in somebody who's a stage 1 adrenal fatigue where they're wired, but I have seen it a lot. And the way that I do it is just to go with teeny, teeny drop doses. Some of them tolerate the teeny, teeny drop doses of the entire bee, but sometimes it's just one of those bees that's causing the excitability. Oftentimes it's the B1 or 2. And then I'll just go with the individual ones and just do drop doses till we get them worked up to where we'd like them to be.
Are there, I was looking at her, I mean, she's got this whole anxiety thing going on.
Yes.
She's so sensitive to a lot of things. And so we're actually this week going to get started and kind of trying out some herbs. Someone gave her a multiple herb concoction for sleep and hormones. It helped her sleep, but then it triggered every symptom she could possibly have.
Yep.
So we're going to be going one by one,
yep.
And I'm going to be pulling stuff in like passion flower. She's got vertigo, so Eleuthero. She's got immune system issue too, so I was thinking of reishi or astragalus.
Yeah. So I would start really with one and go for a while. I'm not sure, but
yeah,
some people
I'm gonna start with
don't
one.
Tolerate the reishi because some people have mushroom or they have a psychological aversion to mushroom, and even though they're extract, so make sure it's extract on the mushroom versus the whole mushroom, because it's less likely to cause a problem if it's just the mushroom extract.
Okay.
Okay. The other thing I found with this one person I'm thinking of who was like that, so sensitive to everything, we just worked really slowly, but she found that Shizandra was really calming for her, and she was able to get up to actually 30 drops 3 times a day of Shizandra and ashwagandha. She started with the Shizandra, and it really helped her with the sleep and to calm things down. But we started with 1 or 2 drops, and she just kept increasing it till she got to the point where she was at the full dose. And it made a huge difference. And the reishi as well. Not the reishi, the ashwagandha.
Yeah, the ashwagandha is a nightshade. And we've kind of identified she has an issue with nightshades right now.
Okay. Yep. And I would stay away from that then, but know that it's possible that getting an extract of the ashwagandha could be totally different than actually eating the ashwagandha.
Okay.
Right. I'm not sure about the solanine, if that actually extracts out into the tincture. That'd be a good curiosity thing to look into. But I do find that sometimes people who have sensitivities, that's why I said with mushrooms, because she might have a sensitivity to mushrooms. A lot of people do when they've had a lot of chronic sensitivities. But then the mushroom extracts don't seem to do the same thing because they don't have all the biological components, basically. They don't have the proteins in there, and that's what usually triggers it. Or in the case of ashwagandha, it's the solanine. I never say that right. I always say solanine just because solanaceae. That's in there.
Mm-hmm. So the place that you were talking about, the biotech, I'm seeing an American biotech. I'm seeing all kinds of biotech. I'm not sure which one it is online.
I used to have it up on my screen. Let me see if I still have it on my other computer. Sometimes
they're just liquid vitamins?
Yeah, they have other things too. They have liquids and they have, let me look real quick. It might be something completely different than I'm just remembering biotech, but it was in UK, and they had vitamins. Very pure stuff. Oh, actually, Amazon has it. UK biotech vitamins, let's see. Oh, it's amazon.com.uk. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, maybe it's Biotech Pharmaca. Let me see if this is the one. I don't think that's it. I can tell you real quick if I look it up in her chat box, the chat window, because we had that whole thing, and I can just tell you what that is. But, yeah, I have not seen a company that looked that good, that clean. Really, really impressed with what they were doing. And they very specifically addressed the issues, right? We're not adding this stuff or that stuff or excipients or preservatives or anything. And it was really cool to be able to see all the different B vitamins because I haven't seen them all in liquid form before.
Do they do the herb tinctures too?
I don't know if they do. Herb tinctures are easier enough to get good stuff. Non-alcohol-based herb tinctures don't necessarily work. So it depends on the herb. Some of them just don't extract in glycerin. Some don't extract in water. Like milk thistle, unless it's like 85% alcohol, isn't going to work, just point blank. Okay, here, liquid B vitamins. So you have to be careful of that. And some folks are really sensitive to the glycerin because it's kind of like a sugar, and if they have any candida issues, it could trigger it. Okay, so here it is. It's Metabolics. What am I thinking? It's metabolics.com. Try that.
Okay.
See if you can come up with that.
Great.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, it's good stuff, and I haven't had a chance to put that out there. Okay, I'm going to write it. Metabolics. Yeah, I'm going to order some just to test them out and see. Okay.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome. Anybody else have questions? Thank you. Tracy just wrote in, it's Metabolics. Kiran, let's see. Kiran says, an 18-year-old suffers from PCOS, poor diet, weight, and sleep issues. Adrenal stress profile, post-awakening cortisol, 11.7, noon 8. Afternoon 5.7, night 1.7. Sum is 26.5, DHA 1.73, cortisol ratio. Started on an elimination diet. What herbs and supplements? She's not on medication. Okay, so she's 18-year-old and she suffers from PCOS. Now, your numbers, your ranges might be a little bit different than what I'm used to. 11.7 in the morning is on the low side. Noon at 8 is probably about right. But again, just make sure, let me know right back in, Kiran, that because it's a different lab that you're using. Because the DHEA, the lab I use, measures it on single-digit scale, and it's, 0 to 10. And anything under 7, I think, is low. But here's the deal. She has PCOS, and she has low DHEA. we wouldn't want to give her any DHEA at this point, because, like we would in a normal person who would have that, because the DHEA could then get converted to testosterone, and then the testosterone would be detrimental in a case of PCOS. It would aggravate it. So there are some herbs and supplements. There's some indication that actually spearmint is excellent at creating balance with people with PCOS. There's another herb that's called chase tree, that is really awesome because it helps the body. It's Vitex agnus casis, and it's chase tree is the common name, and it helps with progesterone levels. It actually helps to normalize the cycle. So you might supplement. You might check that out. You certainly want it. With PCOS, you always want to address blood sugar issues, because that's the underlying cause. So really getting her on a low glycemic diet in addition to an elimination diet. If you can get her to get a blood sugar meter and test, then she could just then eliminate any of the foods that throw her off balance, as opposed to just giving her a blanket list, because it could be different for different folks. But then any of the blood sugar balancing stuff that would be helpful, so chromium and magnesium and her omega-3s, like DHEA especially, important for blood sugar balance. Let's see. And then in terms of addressing the adrenals, again, I don't know if those numbers are, you know, where they sit and how bad it looks like she's in a low state, like maybe stage 2, stage 3, if those numbers correlate with what I'm used to. And then we could look at some of the nice adaptogens that could help give her some extra sleep. So the ones that she would maybe take at night to calm herself down, like Jane mentioned passion flower. Passion flower is an awesome one to just calm people down. Chamomile even. People overlook the effectiveness of chamomile in dealing with sleep issues, and it can be very gentle and very effective. You want to make sure she doesn't have ragweed allergies, because it's in similar family to that, but those can be very helpful. Certainly B vitamins. You want to make sure her B vitamins are looking good to help to support the adrenals, but also those are important for the blood sugar. So that's where I would start. But really look into the chase tree as a possibility, and spearmint. Oh, and the other one that's been very promising in the research for PCOS is myo-inositol, myo-inositol. When we look at a condition and a diagnosis, we want to look at, okay, what is the underlying? And generally, PCOS comes from an androgen imbalance, so it's a female that has high levels of the male hormones. And it throws off their cycle, causes acne, weight gain around the middle. But the underlying issues have to do with blood sugar. It's actually an early manifestation of something like metabolic syndrome. If you can do any labs or have her do any labs, I would certainly have her do some of the lipid panels to see and, you know, address those right on if they are there. Because she's young, so she may not be manifesting those yet, but that's a common manifestation with PCOS. There's a really good book by, not Tori Hudson, I have it on my shelf here, but she just kind of gives you a good background on the underlying mechanisms with PCOS, and I think it's just called PCOS, here it is, the PCOS Health and Nutrition Guide, and it includes 125 recipes for managing polycystic ovarian syndrome. Jill Stansberry, she's a naturopath, Stansbury. But definitely the addressing the food elimination, getting her off of the gluten and the dairy, getting her off of the high glycemic foods, certainly the obvious, the processed foods, but also getting her to be careful with the sweet fruits like the bananas and the pineapple and mango. And if she's open to it, having her test her sugars. So a step at a time. She's 18. 18-year-olds don't really like to deal with this. But with PCOS, you usually have an upper hand with them being willing to work with it, because it affects their looks, it affects their face, it affects their waistline, it affects their periods, and down the road it could affect their fertility big time. I did have one person who, like, so dramatically changed from just getting off the gluten. that was a biggie in getting off the sugars. Her sister did the same thing, and it didn't affect her. We had to dig a lot deeper. And that's where we dug into things like the Chase tree and the Amayo and Acetol and spearmint tea is what some of the studies show. So I hope that helps. Okay, I'm going to redo it, and thanks, Tracy, for metabolics. So Lynn says, I have a potential client with Barrett's esophagitis because of acute intermittent porphyria. Carbs are important for her. She had genetic testing and has the gene. When you say carbs are important for her, do you mean that she doesn't want to get rid of carbs, or that the carb avoiding carbs or low carb is something that she's found important to help manage the symptoms? And is there a specific question, like where to begin with that? All right. You guys are quiet today. I don't see any hands. All right. I see no hands. So, Lynn, go ahead and type in, you know, anything else that you want to tell me about this person or what your specific question is. I mean, when somebody has, you know, any condition, here's what I do. If you have a potential client and it's something you've never worked with before, you want to look it up. You want to look at what is the underlying mechanism for this and what are some of the diet lifestyle things that can be helpful. And in any condition that you're dealing with, if the person is on a poor diet, if they're not getting enough nutrition, they're not getting enough greens, they're not getting enough of the essential fats, the omega-3s, you really have to start with building the foundations and explaining to them that these imbalances could create inflammation. Inflammation is the underlying cause of most conditions. Because of their diet, they could have some specific nutrient imbalances. It's when you get these clients that have these conditions that are already, you know, getting their omega-3s, doing a lot of greens, taking vitamin and mineral supplementation, off of gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, peanuts, all the elimination. You can always start with people with an elimination diet just to see. So I don't know what you mean by carbs are important for her. She needs to eat carbs more than protein. So tell me how does that manifest? On the Myo Inositol, I'd have to look up the exact dose. This book really gives you some of that. I don't recall the dose, and it was basically you get it as a supplement in capsules. I can't remember if it was 500 milligrams or what, or 50 milligrams. The dose is eluding me, but it was basically not, you know, look up, not sure. Let's see, Myo Inositol. Here we go, Myo Inositol. I'll look up to see what Jill Stansbury recommends in hers. 122 for the approximate dose. And I think it's usually two or three times a day. At bedtime, if she has sleep issues, definitely at bedtime, because inositol has been shown to be really helpful. Let's see. I was close. 600 milligrams twice a day has been shown to improve the insulin resistance. And there were some studies that specifically linked it to increased fertility and decreased symptoms from the female perspective, the acne, the facial hair, the periods that don't come. A lot of times they just don't get periods for many months. Let me see if there's another one. And there's one other page, page 33, 34. Let's see. Okay. They're involved in the Myo Inositol is involved in the maturation of immature follicles. They've been found to be abnormally low in the follicles of women with PCOS. So supplementation with either Myo Inositol or D-chiro Inositol can improve fertility for women with PCOS. As might be the consumption of foods that have more D-chiro inositol, such as legumes. And legumes can also support healthy blood levels of blood sugar and fat. So possibly, you know, getting her to do some lentils might be something that helps to maintain her blood sugar levels. So, yeah, and otherwise it looks like about 600 milligrams. Let me see if she says any different. One clinical study found that myo-inositol, along with the B complex, which we already mentioned, reported that elevated testosterone levels declined and ovulation greatly improved. So I would go with that 500 or 600 milligrams a couple of times a day. See how she does with that. Okay, so Lynn's question raises an issue. When somebody says she needs to eat carbs more than protein, a lot of time it's because of an inherent imbalance in the ability to maintain steady blood sugar. So they're finding that they have to eat carbs every couple of hours. And the having to eat it or the feel like they have to eat it is sometimes the carb cravings from that vicious cycle that we'll go through in a lot more detail when we hit the module on blood sugar, which will be in November, I believe. So Lynn says, this is what else I found. Antioxidant therapy along with homeopathy is the mainstay of case management during acute porphyritic episodes. Once the patient has stabilized on an ongoing regime of antioxidants, such as vitamin C, E, beta-carotene, and N-acetylcysteine, should be undertaken in order to prevent recurrence. In particular, vitamin C has been found to be low in porphyria, and there we go. Hang on one second. Okay. Just looking something up real quick. So, yeah, in general, when somebody has a genetic disorder, which this would be, right, you've got to look at what can you do to supplant and increase the activity of an enzyme that's deficient. You basically, in looking at this, the stuff that you're mentioning makes sense because they're all very potent antioxidants. And when she's talking about the esophagitis as a result of the porphyria, again, it's inflammatory. So you have to look at what's the underlying mechanism? What's the pathway that's broken? Are there ways to support that? And are there ways to then minimize the damage from the buildup of the porphyrins? So Jane says, another question without the same client. Since she's so sensitive, should she titrate the pregnenolone and DHEA? The pregnenolone and DHEA are teeny tiny doses, so I would always start with just one tiny drop for her. If indeed she has a problem with that, you could dilute it, but be very careful in diluting them because they're very specifically designed to be absorbed sublingually. And if you dilute them too much, you're going to get too much liquid in there, and they're not going to get as well absorbed. But if she definitely has found that she's sensitive with that, then I would start with one of them, and the one I would start with would be the pregnenolone because it's the precursor. So when in doubt, I always start further up the chain to allow the body to convert. But if the body's not converting, then you want to look at the DHEA. So give her the pregnenolone. Do one drop of the pregnenolone for a week. See how she does with that. If that causes her to become overly anxious, then you could definitely cut that back and maybe put one drop and then another drop of water, mix it together, and then just give her half of that. But I'd hesitate to actually dilute the pregnenolone and the DHA in the bottles because of the special preparations that they have that help with the true being true sublingual. I'm on the phone. Oh, good. Lynn's on the phone. Let me see. Let's see. Where's Lynn? I'm looking for that 515. There you are. Cell phone. There you are. I'll open you up. Yeah. Hi, Lynn.
Hey.
Hey. So are you in the process here with this client of deciding whether you think you can help her? Is that or?
Well, and help her appropriately. It's one of those people who have you know, they've been to every doctor, and all she's ever done is go to doctors. When she first started talking to me, it was mainly because of this Barrett's esophagus, mm-hmm. where she's got this deteriorated lining in her stomach and esophagus. And so I had suggested something like slippery elm just to help calm that. And she's like, well, nobody's ever even come close to suggesting anything like that.
Oh,
and then I did also recommend something like a fennel or carrot congee, just again to help with some of that irritation.
Yes.
And then she has started going into the acute porphyria. She hadn't said anything about that beforehand. And her it's genetic throughout her family. Her grandmother died from it, and her mother is the carrier. And so that's when I started going, okay.
Yeah, but now take a deep breath, and here's the deal, right? You're going to come up with these people, and if she had come to you and said, and look, and I've been to every naturopath and every acupuncturist and functional medicine doctors, and I've tried slippery elm, and I've tried DGL, and I'm on a, you know, blah, 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 you go, I don't know what to do at this point. But you've got so much to work with because she hasn't gone through that. So you're going to explain to her how, you know, you've got an inflammatory condition of the esophagus, and we need to get that healed. And here are some of the things that we're going to do for that. Definitely the slippery elm is good, but DGL can be even better, right? And especially if she can do the lozenges where she can suck them and they're slow release. So there's much more connection and contact, whereas if you put the licorice in a glass and you just drink it down, it just kind of slips past all the lesions. But if she's sucking on one of those lozenges, it's just this gradual, slow, you know, and it gets to be kind of saturated in it. So I would definitely be looking at handling, in this case, you may not be able to fix the root cause, but you're aware of the root cause, and you're aware of the metabolic imbalances that root cause can create for her. And then you can say, look, and you can explain it that way. Look, I don't have a cure for you. You have a genetic disorder. But what we're going to do is help you to build up your body in a way your grandmother had no idea how to give you the absolute best way to deal with this. So, you know, maybe you will still continue to get these acute phases. But if you've got some homeopathy and antioxidants, those may lessen the effects or the frequency of those things. But we're also going to deal with what are those acute flare-ups causing in terms of inflammatory conditions in the rest of your body. Make sense?
Right.
So you have a lot you can offer her.
Right, because she really wants to do a plant-based diet. And as I did some research on this, I found a lot of it has to do with their livers being so completely clogged up.
Yep.
And so in my notes to myself, I started things like, you know, the GLA, fatty acids, maybe some flaxseed.
And things to protect the liver, right? So that's where really the role of antioxidants for the liver makes sense. You want to do a lab on her or have her show you her labs to see, does she already have manifestations of the elevated liver enzymes or other indications that her liver is not able to handle this real well? So, and that's when you support the liver, and milk thistle is amazing for that,
right?
For just protecting the liver. They take alcoholics with end-stage cirrhosis and watch their liver enzymes go way down with milk thistle, right? So supporting the liver, supporting detoxification, supporting the gut in ways, because if she's got the Barrett's esophagitis, chances are good that there's other parts of her GI tract that are inflamed,
right?
And she may have leaky gut. Certainly if she's on gluten and dairy and all those highly allergic substances, is you get her off of those. And that can make you
I did suggest that to her with the no gluten. But, yeah, I have to admit my first reaction was a little bit of panic.
right. But this is the thing, Lynn, right? We're not teaching you disease, cure. And then when you hit a disease that you don't know a cure for, it's like, I don't know that one.
Right.
What we're teaching you is understanding the underlying process. And if it is something that really we can't, you know, maybe somebody only has one kidney. What do you have to do to help them? You're not going to give them back another kidney, right? Maybe somebody has specific genetic congenital type things. But what can you do to enhance the functioning of what they do have and decrease the destruction? And when you understand all that, when you really understand, I mean, I hate to be so blatant and say one disease, one cure, but it really, it's not one disease, one cure. It's but the underlying disease mechanisms are so
right.
similar from one to the other. There's inflammation. Why is there inflammation? How do we turn off that inflammation? That's another whole story. But the inflammation is critical. And for most people, you can have a genetic disorder that never manifests if you're raised right. I mean, hoping that whatever genetic stuff my kids have going on, that because they were raised right with good food from birth and a nurturing environment, that that's going to lessen that the chances of those things manifesting. Most of us didn't get the advantage that our kids are having of being raised in an environment where Twinkies is not the norm and we're not fed high C and Kool-Aid for dinner and, you know, hot dogs and bologna for lunch, right? That we're giving them, and that's what we want to do for people is say, look, you didn't have that. Your grandmother didn't have that. You really, I can help you to just shore up your body so that you're bulletproofing your body, basically. And proofing
right.
would be an extreme word, but you're really protecting, right, your body.
Right.
Yeah, so calm down. Take a deep breath. Whenever stuff like that presents, like you're on, she probably has never dealt with PCOS before, but what's the underlying mechanism? Ah, it's insulin resistance. I know how to deal with insulin resistance. Ah, you know, it's testosterone and estrogen and all those hormones are out of balance. How can we, and progesterone's usually low in PCOS, so how do we help them make more progesterone? You can look at labs. You'll learn how to do this as the course progresses,
right.
so you'll feel really good with looking at the labs and going, oh, okay. So, and if you don't right now, you have access to that module, right? You can,
right.
or you have access to these calls. You can go through the module and go, oh, that's what that means. Oh, that's what that means. Oh, that's some of the
right.
things I can do about it. So I want to empower you so you're not at the mercy of everything being mysterious and like, oh, what is that disease?
Yes.
Anytime somebody presents with a weird disease that you have to look it up because you haven't seen it before, once you understand the mechanisms of it, you can usually come up with, oh, well, we're going to work on this. Oh, we're going to work on that. Make sense?
Well, and I was starting to get to that process, but my very first initial reaction was one of minor panic. And
yeah.
and then as I started reading more and looking at which particular gene was at the root of all of this and learning more about that particular gene, the picture was starting to get more clear.
Yeah.
Kind of like on a microscope when you adjust. But I did have several moments
reaction.
Of panic.
Normal reaction. I still have reactions of panic, and then I start really looking, and I think, oh. And especially the ones that have seen naturopaths and acupuncturists.
Right.
But when you dig and you say, okay, what did they do? Did they check this? Did anybody work on your gut? Did anybody give you some soothing demulcents to heal your gut? And you're going, no, they didn't. Oh, okay. Yeah, we got a lot to do. Even though they were naturopathic or holistic or whatever, they really weren't. And that's why we're
yep.
being so thorough here.
And she has only seen allopathic,
allopathic
doctors.
Yeah.
Nothing. So all of this is all completely new to her. She has the desire to make these changes and have that
oh.
empowerment in her own life. But
she needs you big time to guide her because it's be completely
yep.
overwhelming to her to try to figure it out on her own.
Yep. And she's
right.
had her gallbladder removed and
oh.
because so it's even I told her it's even doubly important that she because, you know, she's having abdominal pains and so what's the first thing they do? Well, let's just take it out.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to see what's wrong. So she doubly has to, I told
yeah.
her, she doubly has to keep her liver clean.
Absolutely. Did they give her antacids? Because that's a typical approach. No matter what the esophagitis is, here's antacids, which is probably the worst thing they could do.
Yeah, that's what they've given her.
Okay. Yeah, and you guys, we'll get to this when we get to digestion, but just so you know, it's just not innocuous, like, okay, they give her antacids, but really, when you give someone an antacid, you lower the stomach acid, most people that are experiencing this do not have the problem because they have too much acid. They generally have it because they have too little. And when the stomach contents can slide up and into the esophagus, it's a lot of times because of the incompetence of the lower esophageal sphincter. And guess what happens when you have low stomach acid? What happens to the lower esophageal sphincter? You want to take a guess?
No, I don't.
Okay, it becomes incompetent.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. That makes sense.
So now you're giving people antacids, but there's still going to be some acid going in there, you know, and there's that now their esophageal sphincter isn't going to hold it closed,
yeah.
And everything's not going to stay in the
yeah.
stomach, so you're
yeah.
going to have more reflux. So people with reflux are giving proton pump inhibitors and other antacid type of medications, which actually in the long run makes it worse. So instead they should be given stuff to heal the esophagus, be worked on to see, you know, in this case it's probably not hiatal hernia, but it's possible that this whole process
right.
can cause it. The hiatal hernia causes the stomach to go up through that lower esophageal sphincter,
yep.
and it actually can be manually manipulated down. There's actually
yep.
some awesome YouTube videos that teach people how to do it themselves.
Yep.
So, anyway,
yep.
I think it's a great case for you. You'll learn a lot, and I think you'll see some good results.
Yep. Well, hopefully she does too. No, not hopefully. She will.
She will. She
yes.
will. And she's trusting you. She's saying, I'm sick of this. I need, you know, I'm willing to
yep.
do what you tell me to do. So, yep.
yep. Okay.
Yay, good
Thank
for you.
You. Now
You're
I feel
welcome.
Better.
Oh, good. Fantastic. All right, so okay. I'm going to close your line, Lynn, and I'm going to
yep.
open up Tony's. Thanks, Lynn. That's a great case.
Yep, thanks.
And it's a great example for all of you because you might panic when you hear something, oh, I don't know, it's medical, it's too hard for me. We're not asking you to do anything medical. I'm not asking you to tell her you're going to cure her stuff and get off all her drugs. I'm just telling you that you can be a very good supplement to her from a nutritional standpoint, from a lifestyle standpoint, to help her to regain balance, and any of your clients regain balance so that they end up maybe not needing the medications. But they need you, and it's important for you to understand how this stuff works. A lot of my colleagues are saying, well, why are you teaching all this medical stuff to people who aren't medical doctors? That doesn't seem right. I say, because they need to know it, because they're out there working with people, helping people with their diet lifestyle in ways that the medical doctors can't. And if they don't understand the underlying mechanisms, and they don't understand what these conditions are doing to the body and how they can intervene, how are they going to do it? And I think it's cool, and I like doing it. So there you go. So hi, Tony.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really sorry to ask you to recreate the wheel here, but I'm getting a lot of people who have blood sugar issues, and although, you know, I understand about insulin resistance, and I've learned a lot since I've been with you this particular program, I was never part of the other program that you offered. I don't know what's it called?
The Be Four Be Gone program.
I think you said that there's some slides that you were going to make available to us in order if we wanted to have presentations.
Yeah, there is, and if you go on the site, as far as I understood, it was put up a month or two ago, and I'll find it for you. The other thing is, I have to ask Stacy about this because she hates to open up a program when she's working on revamping it, but it still
okay.
exists. Well, that won't hurt, though. It still exists over on the other site. So we can certainly open up the materials to that and in any of the programs, right? We're going to get to it. We're going to teach you how to take people through it. But if you want to at least get some head start on that, there should be no reason. I'm not going to promise, but there should be no reason. We can't open up your access to the IRSPT and Before Be Gone programs over on the other site.
Okay.
And you can just play around and look things up in there, right? And we're going to
okay.
be doing that piece November, December.
Okay.
All right?
And you said that the slides are already available?
Yeah, the slides should be, because they were a bonus that we gave to Shine participants, if you go to events, Shine Conference, and I'm just walking myself through it too. So Shine January 2014.
Mm-hmm.
There's a link that says bonuses.
Okay.
And if you scroll down, maybe it was on a different page. Interesting. It should have been on that page. We went through this whole cycle of, I'm going to shoot Stacy while we're on the line, and maybe she'll respond before the end of the call, like, where would we find it at?
Yeah, I was having some difficulty, and I decided
it wasn't on the I'm not seeing it on the bonuses page. And I know it wasn't a bonus that everybody got, but I should have gotten it, so it should show it on my page. And everybody that signed up for the program should have gotten it. It's just not everybody that did Shine was supposed to get it. You know how to access the Gone bonus. The blood sugar. It was the Shine bonus. Usually answers pretty quickly, so I'll wait to see what she has to say. But yeah, it's basically, that is a nice little piece. It's a presentation that I did about blood sugar balancing. I gave you all my PowerPoint slides, so you can go in and you can edit them, you can take out some, you can add some of your own. And then there's the transcript, so you hear exactly what I'm saying.
Okay,
and then
there's
the video, so you can watch me and listen to me and present it. Let's see.
Very nice.
I could figure it out. Yes. She's going to figure it out. Yes. Okay. So I just sent her. She's going to look for it.
Okay,
and hopefully she'll get back.
So much appreciate that. Thank you so much. I'm on the road. I would look on the computer again, but I'm not.
No, I don't see it, so no point in you looking.
Okay.
If I don't see it and I've got the full access account, I should be able to see it. And maybe I'm just not looking in the right place.
Okay, great.
You may have a separate page just for those early bonuses. Plus, I will check with her to see. Oh, she's given me a link. I'm going to click on the link, and then I'll see how I could trace it back for you.
Okay, great.
Events, Shine. There's a link that says pre-conference bonuses. Okay, let me try looking again here. And let me go back to events. So it's under events, Shine. I think if I could see how this is short. I think what I'll do is I'm gonna Skype this to Lynn, and Lynn, if you could put it up on that won't help me because that won't help everybody else see it. Okay, give me a sec. Let me see if I can find it. We got to get that chat thing. That's exactly why I wanted to have that chat thing working, so I could just post it to you because you could post a question to me right now, but I can't post it to you. All right, so if I click on Shine, there should be something that says pre-conference bonuses. Ah, yes. So when you go and you click through, you go Shine 2004, January 2014, and on the page there it'll say digital videos, digital materials, bonuses, and pre-conference bonus.
Okay.
Okay? And when you click on pre-conference bonus, let's see, that takes you to a page that has the whole thing.
And I have access to that.
You should. Now, if you don't, that's another story. And if you don't have access to where it says pre-conference, anybody in here, if you go there and you don't see that you have access to pre-conference, if you're in NEPT, if you're not in NEPT, you don't have it. But if you're in NEPT and you don't have that, then go to the technical support page under support. I think it's where is it, technical assistance page, then go there and say, hey, I don't have access to the pre-conference, and I was told that I should. Can you please set me up with it? And make sure you give her your email address that you use to log in, and Stacey will set you up with it. I just told her that everybody in NEPT should, so I'll make sure that everybody gets tagged for it. And then also, the same thing, if there's an interest in opening up the blood sugar balancing piece for those of you who did not do the IRSPT program, then we can do that, or I could just ask her if there's any problem with just giving it to everybody. There shouldn't be a problem with doing that, since some of you already have it anyway. And then she'll be moving it over to the new site over the next month or two, so that it'll all be housed in the INE website. So.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you so very much.
You're so welcome, because there's so much you could do with it. I mean, and it's
yes.
set up. It's set up as a self study right now, anyway. So you guys, you know, you guys will get more in depth on it. But yeah, it's self set up that way, and you can come to me on any of these calls and ask me questions. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Bye. All right. Any other questions? I'll look at the QA to see if anybody's typed in anything. Rukmini, hi. I'm on the call via Skype for the first time, wondering how to make a call so I can talk. Okay, so if you're on via Skype, I'm going to look to see if I can open up your line. Skype user, they all show up as Bakersfield, California, even though you're overseas. Is this Rukmini? Hello, say hi, Rukmini.
Hi, Rukmini.
Oh, you're very faint. Is there any way to get closer to the microphone or... Oops, we just lost her. Darn. Well, we just lost you. See if you can call in again and make sure that your microphone is set up and you're close to it. Sometimes if you're just talking into the computer, you have to get really close. And what I highly recommend is if you're going to do Skype calls like that is that you get a good mic, like a, you know, you just plug it into your USB and speak into that, or a headset mic. All right. Anybody else? Let me see if there's any other questions. Sequoia. Hi, Sequoia. What's the best way to increase stomach HCL? What base would you use for making digestive bitters for someone with a gluten, and what best herbs for the bitters? Great question. Okay, so bitters is a great way to increase your stomach acid production, but also you have to make sure they have enough zinc, because it's a vicious cycle. If not enough zinc, you can't absorb, you can't make stomach acid, and if not enough stomach acid, you can't absorb zinc well. So make sure they have zinc. So I always put them on a liquid zinc or test their zinc status as well. Now, as far as the bitters, I use a formula that's from David Winston at Herbalist and Alchemist, and I like his formulation, and he has a very specific reason for putting each of those in here. But I'll give you an idea of the types of bitters that work. Now, you can have someone do like chewing on dandelion or arugula or any of the really bitter greens, but chewing on them in a way that causes them to hold it in their mouth for a good 5 minutes, about 15 minutes before they eat, and that stimulates that secretion, you know, that bitter secretion reflex down to the stomach to produce. Also helps with producing with the gallbladder and with the moisturization of the digestive tract. So you can do it with that. You can do it with a little bit of green vegetable juice and just have them swish it in their mouth for 5 minutes before they, 15 minutes before they eat. But let me tell you some of the herbs that David Winston put into his. I really like this. Dandelion is his top one. His is dandelion root, gentian root, artichoke leaf, orange peel, angelica root, and peppermint. And he actually calls it DOPA, if you want to remember it. Dandelion, orange peel, peppermint, artichoke, and then in addition it's angelica and gentian. So I'll read it one more time. Dandelion, gentian, artichoke leaf, orange peel, angelica root, peppermint. Okay, so that's those are some of the ones that, and you can use the, you can use them individually. Gentian's super bitter. You can use any of them individually. You can use them as a combination, or, you know, for the home grown remedy, you can actually have it done in a way that you just do juices. The bitter, the more bitter, the better. Okay? Oops, I got disconnected. Can we try again? Yes, try again and I will see. Tracy said she likes David Winston's bitters, been using for 3 months. Yeah, I think they're really great. I've seen some good results with them. So Tracy has her hand up, and let me get Rukmini, and then I'll get Tracy. So I need to make sure I don't lose her again. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Oh, awesome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Thank you. It's really nice talking to you.
It's great talking to you, too.
Okay. So I had a question regarding my husband, actually.
Mm-hmm.
He has had constant mouth ulcers for, you know, quite a few years. And, you know, in the past, when he also had a condition called purpura that was starting to show up, he went on a 3-month raw food diet. So he was doing a lot of green juicing and, you know, various things. And he saw good results with his purpura, but with his mouth ulcers, they never, you know, really subsided. And he usually has about 2 to 3 each month.
Where are they, on his cheeks, or are they on the inside of his lips? Where are they located?
Yeah, they're on the cheeks.
Uh-huh. And they come and go, or are they there constantly?
No, they come and go, but, you know, they take a while to heal, like about, you know, a week or so. And, you know, the one thing he does is he just drinks a lot of green juices all the time, especially when he has mouth ulcers. But the only thing is he's already underweight. He's about 60 kilos. And he's 5.9 feet. So, you know, 5 feet 9 inches.
5 feet 9 inches. And how much does he weigh?
60 kilos.
60 kilos, so that's like 125 pounds? Holy cow.
I don't think it's 125. It should be more than that.
More than that? Like 140 maybe? Like, say, I think it's 2.2 kilos. So 2.2 times 60 would be 120 plus... 0.2 would be another 12, 132. So that's still pretty light.
Okay. But, you know, his levels are good. His thyroid's fine. You know, the basic things are okay. Like even his B12, we just got tested recently. And, you know, at least as per my understanding, all those things look fine. But I wasn't sure, you know, like what I could really do to help him out with the mouth ulcers especially.
Yeah, so they just keep coming. So it's not a matter of that they don't heal. They do take a while, and mouth ulcers will take a long time to heal just because they're constantly being bathed in stuff that's not going to help them heal. Green juices are great because they can help with all that chlorophyll.
The only thing is he loses weight. You know, like the 3 months he was on the raw food diet, he felt so amazing, but at the same time he was really losing a lot of weight.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to lose weight on a raw food diet, and that's the misnomer. I think if he's losing weight on a raw food diet, he's not eating enough fat.
Okay.
So yeah. Have you looked at that? Have you looked at his essential fatty acids?
Okay, he doesn't take any supplements, but, you know, we eat a lot of avocado, so that's about...
Not omega-3. It's not omega-3. He may be low in omega-3, and a raw food diet... can exacerbate that unless he's eating a lot of algae. It's hard to eat a lot of algae.
Right. So it's better to take some supplements for omega-3?
Yeah, and then you can get an algae-based liquid supplement. I take one. It's called Omega Zen 3, and it has EPA and DHA, which are going to help with the inflammation. So he may have some things off in that pathway.
Okay.
And it could be B vitamins as well. Although, you know, if he's eating a really good high green raw food diet with lots of green juices, he should be fine on the Bs.
Okay.
Is he under a lot of stress?
He also suffers from insomnia, though, you know, we are in bed usually by about 9:30, but then he, you know, despite following that routine for like months and months, he cannot sleep very easily, and he wakes up in between quite frequently. So...
I would run a cortisol, I would run an adrenal stress test on him.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it might be that, and the adrenals will then drain the B vitamins. So that's the thing I would be looking at, adrenal panel. I'd look at getting him some extra B vitamins. You can get a nice liquid form, Premier Research. I don't know if you get it over there, but that place that I mentioned earlier, the Metabolics, I know they ship to, they're in Europe, and they ship to places all over the world. They have good B complexes in liquid form. The other thing is aloe, things like that to actually soothe it can be helpful, but that's more like symptomatic relief when he has the ulcers break out. It's really an understanding of why do they break out, and oftentimes they break out as a result of stress and imbalances that way, B vitamins and things like that. And the fact that he's not sleeping well says to me there might be something off in his cortisol rhythm.
Okay. All right. So all right. I will do a home adrenal test if I can.
Yeah.
And then based on that, and I'll also put him on B vitamins. But for omega-3, is E3 also a good one?
E3 doesn't have quite as much. E3 has a little bit, but it doesn't have quite as much because it's not as concentrated. But that would certainly be a good supplement, E3 Live, yeah.
Okay. But what about the doTERRA omegas? Are those also good, or is the Omega Zen better?
I think Omega Zen's better.
Okay.
I think the doTERRA omegas are probably fish oil if he doesn't mind taking that, but I think that the Omega Zen is better. It's all pure algae oil.
Thank you so much. And I had one quick question.
Sure.
My sister has been trying to lose a bit of weight. So I had, put her on a green juice diet. And she did that for about 5 days. And she was feeling fine. The only thing is she used to get a lot of leg cramps.
Yeah.
Like she's sleeping at night or, right before she's about to wake up, she would get leg cramps. And so she stopped it after 5 days.
Yeah, so sometimes when people do that and it's a low glycemic with the green juice, they get a lot of magnesium in the green juices, but they don't get enough potassium because, you cut out potatoes and bananas and a lot of the foods there. You might have her try, if she really doesn't want to take supplements, you can have her try broccoli juice because broccoli is a lot higher in potassium than some of the other things we typically would juice. But also a potassium supplement might help that. The other thing she could try would be some topical magnesium, because it's possible it's magnesium, although, with that much green juice, you usually are not deficient in magnesium, but it's possible she can be. Maybe she has a genetic thing. And a magnesium oil applied to the backs of the calves before she goes to sleep could make a huge difference.
Okay. I'll try all of that. I do have the topical magnesium, so I'll try that the next time she does it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You are so welcome. I'm glad you were able to get through.
Yeah, me too. It's better than with the chat.
It's easier, right, when we can go back and forth versus the chat. There's that time delay and all that. So I like that much better. So I'm always glad to talk to you guys. So I'm glad it worked.
Yeah, and I just wanted to also mention last time regarding the thyroid incident for that young boy that I had mentioned.
Yes.
And you had told it could either be excess, radiation or, bromine contamination.
Right.
So when I checked with the mother, she told me that the boy was born a bit premature and he had some sort of jaundice. So they had to put him in infrared, lighting for about 3 days. Right after he was born.
That generally won't do it.
Okay.
That generally, because that's the infrared usually will not do it. It just depends, though, I never know how they do that in hospitals, but I don't think that would do it. That would do it. Like radiation exposure of her during pregnancy, sometimes women are in a car accident or for some reason have to get x-rays during pregnancy, and that can affect the child. And if anybody else in the family has a tendency towards the thyroid issues, but it sounded like he was majorly gluten intolerant and you're going to have to get him off of that.
Okay.
Which they
Thank
don't
you.
Want to do, right? That's always the thing people don't want to do.
Yeah.
I've gotten to a point where I'll tell people, look, I understand it's hard. I totally do. I do it myself. I understand it. However, I don't think I can work with you if you're not willing to try this, because I don't think I can, I don't have any magic bullets in my pocket. And if I've identified a really possible, probable underlying cause and you're not willing to work with it, then I don't think I can help you.
Right. Yeah, that's basically what I had to also mention to her. So,
I know it's hard to do, but, we have to be able to be realistic with people. We can't just, like, say, you know, oh, yeah, I have a headache because I keep banging my head against the wall 3 times a day, and I'm not willing to stop that. Can you help me with my headache?
Yeah, I know. No. I told you no.
I don't have any magic bullets. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, Miss Tracy, hey.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. How's it going by you? You're doing that summit. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. I have two questions. So my first question is actually regarding the summit. I'm going to, you know, since it's all about Love Yourself Slim and weight loss, I have a totally different mindset, you know, but being part of the summit, like, my goal is always about you getting healthy inside, not about the next quick way to lose weight.
Right.
However, saying that, I'm going to talk about cleansing the body, and in particular, liver health. So I want to talk to you about alpha lipoic acid, and how do you feel about it? And from the research, it seems like it's really good for liver, besides, like, milk, Bisco, and some other things. But I wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, I mean, it can be very helpful, and it can be not very useful if somebody doesn't need it. One of the reasons I think it works so well for weight loss is that it helps to balance blood sugar, so it helps with insulin resistance. So I don't see any problem with it. I'm thinking, you know, my brain is going in terms of some of those genetic pathways to see if any of those, like, people will think glutathione's the be-all and the end-all, and it is an awesome supplement, but if somebody has some backups in some of those pathways, I'm pulling out my genetic pathways thing. You know, I don't think that there's any major cautions for it, and it could be helpful for a number of people.
Okay. I'm just thinking about, like, when I'm talking about liver health and things that can support the liver, and I was going to talk about, like, milk thistle and alpha lipoic acid, and then, of course, you got to support the gut with probiotic-rich foods and then cultured vegetables and coconut kefir and, you know, probiotic supplements. So I'm just, you know, I want to give them information, but I want also people to have, now what can they do? Without me looking like I'm some kind of medical doctor, you know what I mean? Like, talking about drugs, which I'm not. So.
Oh, no, you don't want to talk about drugs. But in terms of supporting the liver, you know, you always have to look at it, and you're good at that because your cleanse does that, is reducing the toxic load is the best thing you can do for your liver. And people want to start with what fancy supplements that I can take, and there's, you know, sitting there smoking a cigarette and taking milk thistle. It's like, well, you know, it's really not going to make that much of a difference here, right? So we want to reduce the toxic load, and really coming back to, you're empowered to watch some of the products you're putting on your body. You really want your body to look nice and slim, but are you putting these toxic chemicals on your body day in and day out that are creating stress on your liver, and that's going to cause a whole backup, and, you know, you're going to store fat instead of burn it. And it's really critical. Right?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Do you think it's too heavy of a topic for me to kind of go into phase one and phase two detoxification?
You know, I think the more people understand, even if they don't remember it, the more they get it when you say it. So I wouldn't go into phase two and methylation and acetylation and blah,
blah,
blah.
No.
But the liver has two phases, and here's what happens.
Yeah.
Phase one is like this little waiting room. And the liver, the stuff comes through, and then it gets converted. And sometimes it gets converted to something that's worse than was it came in as. But it's supposed to go right into the main room, the phase two, and get neutralized and excreted. And sometimes when we have, you know, toxic lifestyles or genetic imbalances or a lot of stress, that phase two gets sluggish. But phase one just scurries along, and it's working hard, and all these toxins build up. And the buildup goes back into the bloodstream and creates those symptoms that nobody wants, like pimples and achiness and weight gain and fartiness and all this stuff.
Yeah, bloating. Yeah. And when they're trying to get those cute little bathing suits, but, you know, they have a protruding stomach, you know.
Exactly.
So you
put it in their language so that they understand it. But I think it's important for them to understand that, you know, the stuff that comes in, it's not like, oh, yeah, you take it in and it just goes, passes through you. There's a lot of work your body has to do to cleanse it,
right,
and detoxify it. And sometimes those mechanisms just stop because you overload them. The poor liver's going, I can't keep up. And what does it do? It throws them into fat. So
yeah,
you protect,
okay,
it. Don't let that get to the brain. Don't let those toxins,
right,
get to the brain. Let's protect it. And they surround it by fat. And then you,
yep,
find that you're eating a 1,000-calorie-a-day diet and still not losing weight because your liver's,
yeah,
storing everything you put in back into fat, slowing down,
mm-hmm,
your metabolism. So those are the ways,
yeah,
you can explain it.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Great. Thank you. I feel like I'm on the right track then.
Yeah. When are you getting the recording done? Or is it live? Is it one of these live ones?
Well, no, it's not live. We're going to record it this Tuesday.
Good.
And then my interview is on August 6th.
Great. Oh, good. I think,
yeah,
I have one. I've been in like three different summits lately. I have to send out emails about
it.
I think you're
going to California, right?
I'm going
or
to California
Laura.
To teach for Laura at one of her,
mm-hmm,
her events. Yeah.
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 I think that's great.
Yeah.
My last question was about talking about B vitamins, and it's so,
yeah,
funny that you brought up Premier Health because I love the Max B ND, the liquid,
yep,
vitamins. But it is, you know, it's really pricey.
It's very pricey.
So I was looking at Metabolics. They have a liquid vitamin, and I actually looked at each of the Bs, and they don't use folic acid, and they talked about, you know, how companies use, you know, synthetic forms of folic acid and what it does in the body. And I didn't know if you knew anything about their liquid B complex. The price is much better.
Did you look at the amounts? Is it similar amounts?
I don't know if it showed me amounts.
Because I know the one for the Premier one is fairly low dose.
Yeah.
I would be looking at that because sometimes when we look at vitamins and we compare, oh, this is much less. Well, you will cost much less, but you go, oh my God, it's a third of the potency. So you don't want to get yourself
right
and find that. Yeah, it looks like it's less, but it's not really.
Yeah, it's like email or something. I will do that because I just feel like there's so many people that are just kind of running themselves in the ground. And like you said, you know, they have adrenal fatigue and they have just kind of burnt out all their Bs. And so I just think it's good that everybody should have a B complex.
Oh, I think it's
and
a great idea.
Wondering.
Yeah. And it's $80
mm-hmm.
a bottle for that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
$80.
It's a 3-month supply or 2 to 3 month supply, but still it's a lot. So let's see there.
Because I bought it once, but I can't. Yeah, I don't see where Metabolics breaks down the amount. They just talk about which Bs, but maybe there's another page. But I'll email them.
Email them and find out, and let us know.
Yeah, I will.
Maybe it's a specific page they have on the site that has the breakdowns. But I know it did for the individual Bs. It did say how much was in each one.
I do like you said, they are clean. You know, like. They don't have a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, because even the Premier is not as clean as this. The Premier has some yeast in some of them, and it has some alcohol. So I think these are actually cleaner than Premier.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Yeah, I'm looking at
it. Everyone's always talking about Premier's, you know, B complex, and
yeah,
I bought it once, but I just thought, oh, gosh, you know, $80, A little high, yeah.
It's a little high. Let's see. View the main product ingredients. Let's see. Opening a pop-up. Maybe your thing didn't allow the pop-up. I have to say allow pop-ups for this
site. Oh, see. Oh, yeah, I didn't even see a pop-up.
Yeah. Because I remember looking at it, like this one, the
P5P
has 16 milligrams per ml.
I see the full ingredients now.
Okay, you do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good.
And they're using.
It.
Yeah, I will compare it. Yeah, I'll compare it.
Good.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Great question. All right. What time is it? Time did we start? Do I have to go? I have another call. Let me look. Nope. I have 10 more minutes. Okay. Good. So, any other questions before we had some good questions? I'm going to refresh. Sequoia wants to ask a question live on Skype. Let me see where you are, Sequoia. There you are, Sequoia. Okay. Hi, Sequoia.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great.
Wonderful.
So just to finish off the other question, what is the best base to use for the digestive bitters?
The best base?
Yeah, like alcohol.
If you're going to do extracts, it should be alcohol because I don't think the glycerin works as well. So if you're going to use like David Winston's bitters compounds, that one's in alcohol. But if you're doing a fresh juice, that's fine too.
Yeah, but what type of alcohol is my question?
Yeah,
because I like vodka's a grain.
Oh, you're going to make it.
Yes.
I see. Okay, you're the maker. Grape alcohol.
Yeah, okay, so brandy.
Organic grape alcohol.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, and you mentioned, I just wanted to ask you about, you mentioned that when you're pregnant and you have an accident or you have an X-ray, that it affects the child. In what way?
I was saying this was a child who had developed at age 12, I believe, had developed thyroid issues really bad, Hashimoto's and other things. And we talked about like what kind of exposures this kid might have had that could have triggered such a severe response at such a young age. So it was the radiation. So, you know, when a woman's pregnant, you want to avoid radiation because the fetus gets exposed. And if it's like you break a wrist, then you're putting the big lead shields over the baby, over the thyroid, over all the parts to make sure that only the wrist gets done. But a lot of doctors don't take those kind of precautions. Oh, yeah, I just took a little thing on it. Or they just X-ray people. So that's it. And what kind of things? So many things can go on with radiation, you know. Any of the things that are downsides of radiation, including, I mean, hormonal disruption is certainly one of them.
Right. So the other question was, how do you get, I know you like to do everything in an order, and we haven't kind of got the whole order yet. And so you have to make sure that nutrition is correct. Can you hear me?
Yep.
So if the nutrition is correct, and what if the person isn't digesting properly?
Yep, that's biggie. That's what we're going to go into first. You know, so when I look at my functional hierarchy is somebody comes in and presents with a thyroid problem. If you just say, okay, let's just run your thyroid test and, oh, we found some imbalances, let's address it, and don't look at the underlying stuff like digestion, blood sugar, and adrenals, really not going to have much headway with the thyroid.
Right.
So you need to be doing it in the order that I've found to be helpful. And it doesn't mean that you're just working one and then the next and then the next and then the next. It means that if somebody comes in, their primary complaint is thyroid stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you find that they have, say you do our little scorecards, which we have in the module one of the cat bonus that we gave you. But if you go in there and you do the scorecard, say, and you find out that their thyroid is 78 and their adrenals are 22 and their blood sugar is 47 and their digestion is 28, you might say, well, wow, the thyroid's 78, that's where I'm going to work first. But in reality, if any of those three that come before it in the hierarchy are out of balance, you're not going to make that headway. Yes, you can address the thyroid, and yes, you can do supplements and herbs and foods and stuff to support thyroid, but you have to be working on that digestion because the blood sugar won't balance if the digestion's out of balance. The adrenals won't balance if the blood sugar is out of balance. So if you don't work on them altogether or in that order, you're not going to get the same results. You might get temporary symptomatic results, but you're not going to get the profound results that you would if you really address the underlying leaky gut, gluten intolerance, low stomach acid, or whatever else is there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, no. If you're doing the nutrition.
No. What's wrong?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello. I can hear you. I'm sorry. You have an injured child.
No, no. It's not on my end.
Oh. Somebody else is in. Let me go see.
Yeah.
Oh, I left. Tracy has an injured child. There we go. Okay, I turned it off. Okay,
right.
Sorry about that.
So Yeah, where do you go from having a good diet, having, you know, green drinks? Where do you go from that? Taking digestive enzymes.
So if somebody, now they're presenting with what? Like, what is it? Give me an example.
It's me. It's not they. It's me.
Oh, it's you. Okay. Okay, good. Okay. So good diet. You have to look at, is it pristine, right? If you're still having symptoms and your diet is good, you want to go for a diet that's pristine. Are you avoiding gluten? Maybe you're sensitive to grain.
Absolutely.
Absolutely good.
Zero gluten. Doing everything in the book that I can do.
Okay. So you're avoiding gluten. You're off of dairy and all the top allergens.
No,
dairy. Dairy, corn, soy, eggs, peanuts.
Yeah, all them. But the only thing I do make my own raw goat's milk yogurt.
Okay. So again, I would say possibly if you had a casein allergy, that wouldn't be working for you. So you do an elimination. You look at all the possibilities within the diet. I'm not saying that this is true, but it could be. Right? It could be that. And again, I don't know if this is true for you, but for me, I was eating pineapple, and it was shooting my blood sugar up to 167.
Right, yeah.
Right? Like little hidden weird things that you think, well, this person has a perfect diet. They eat lots of fruits, lots of veggies, lots of green drinks. They avoid gluten. They don't do any sugar. They avoid grains. I mean, grains may be an issue. And I don't know enough about you and your history.
No,
like,
I don't do any grains. I know my blood sugar's not correct, but it's getting better. And
okay.
And I don't do sugar at all, and I haven't done for years.
Good. Good. Okay. And what would be the prime symptom that you're, or the thing that's not clearing for you?
I don't know. I get this kind of feeling that comes up, where, and then I flush. My face flushes.
Yeah. So where I would be going with that is looking at the digestion to make sure the digestion is in fact clean, that you have no bloating, no gas, if there's a potential of a parasite, a potential of another food allergy that is, you know, not in those common ones. I would certainly look at the casein and the goat's milk and do an elimination on that and see if it makes a difference. I would be looking at then from the digestion, looking at that blood sugar, really mapping out all those numbers. And if there's any spots that it's off, then you eliminate the foods that throw it off, and then you look at all the support that we have in the blood sugar balancing module, which we don't have time to go through right now because we're at the end of the call, but things like, you know, chromium and magnesium and some of the herbs, and there's a bunch of different things there. Mm-hmm. And then looking at your stress levels, looking at your adrenals. So those are the ways I would approach it.
Right. Okay.
And then looking at thyroid numbers, you know, did you do a full panel? Do you have any antibodies? Do you have any conversion issues from T3 to T4 to T3? Are those ratios right? Do you have a high normal T4 but a low normal T3? They both show up as normal on the lab, but they're out of balance to each other, which means that there may not be the right conversion, which means that you might be getting a buildup of reverse T3, and that could be making a difference. Right. If you have a lot of stress, if you have high cortisol levels, it could cause thyroid burnout. There's so many different things, right? So we go through the hierarchy. Yeah, clean up the diet dramatically. That's what I call the foundations. Go into the stress management pieces, you know, and your attitudes and all that kind of stuff, you know. Okay, handled, right? You're doing all those right pieces. You're sleeping enough, okay, unless sleep is an issue, and then really working on the sleep, right?
Sleep fine.
Fine. Okay, so, yeah, when you go through, I have the thing of the seven pillars of health, right? The nutrition, the movement, the sleep, attitude, stress management, fun.
Pretty good on all of them.
You having fun?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got your foundations covered with the exception of a couple of little things. So then you want to look at the digestion. You want to look at the blood sugar. You want to look at the adrenals and the thyroid, and that would be the order that you could look at them all at the same time, but you don't want to jump in and just look at the thyroid unless you've also looked at the other three, is what
right.
I say.
Okay.
Right? So it's a hierarchy.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Okay, does that help?
Yeah, one other question. Have you ever known anybody, I have a friend who's has Hashimoto's, and
yes.
It's you know, the thyroid's completely gone. Have you ever known anybody who's regenerated the thyroid?
No, that's the thing. If it's completely gone, I'd have to see. What does that mean, completely gone? It's like they look
well,
at the tissue and there's nothing left to it, or?
They've been told it's gone by the doctor.
Yeah, and that, see, I question everything any doctor tells me. I want to see the labs. I want to see the report. I want to know what that means. Because
right.
In their opinion, it could be 10% gone, and they'd say, we've never seen it regenerate. We don't know what to do with Hashimoto's anyway. Now, so I don't know. It depends on how far gone it is.
Okay, so I could ask
yeah.
for, right.
Yeah,
okay.
But you need to, whether or not their thyroid's completely gone, even if they've had it completely taken out or irradiated, if they still have those antibodies, there's an immune system overreaction, and likely there's antibodies to other tissues.
Yes.
And just the fact that those antibodies are there means that they're going to be looking for something to attack, and they're going to be attacking whatever little thing that resembles thyroid tissue or is around. So it really comes down to, regardless of whether you can regain the function completely, you want to get that immune system under control so it doesn't start attacking willy-nilly everywhere.
And you do that, the same digestion, blood sugar, adrenal kind of approach.
Right, super important. Vitamin D, super, super important. And the immune system, the very specific nutrients, and we'll go through the whole immune system balancing too.
So, and you mentioned about the Before Be Gone, that we'd have access to that?
Yeah, I'm going to check with Stacey. I don't see that there should be a problem, but sometimes I promise things that she says, it's going to take me 3 days of work to do that. So I will check in with her, and if she can open it, it will be on the other site, on the VLM site, because she hasn't moved it over to our practitioner side yet.
Okay.
So it'll be just exactly what it looked like when we ended the last program.
Okay, that's great. Thanks.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're out of time, everyone. So thank you so much for being here. Great questions. We'll open up your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Dr.
Bye. You're welcome.
Bye.
Oh, Lynn just asked, what was the alcohol I mentioned? She usually uses vodka for tinctures. You can get grape alcohol, 100% organic grape alcohol. And some of the major supplement companies use it, like Eclectic Institute. There's a few of them that use it, and it's hypoallergenic. So thank you, guys. Bye-bye.